All right, now let's bring in the guys. They have their own weather that happens every day in Florida, and that is Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. You will find them on the web at tqag.com, and you'll find them on most Tuesday mornings huddled around their phones talking to us here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's also 74 here in Hope Sound right now.
So the temperature is about the same, but I bet you it's not humid and misty in that you where you are.
No,
well, it's not misty, but it is humid.
It is humid.
Well, a little bit, but not as bad as it'll be later today.
Well, that's why the good Lord.
Not so bad.
That's why the good Lord created air conditioning. There you go.
Oh yes.
All right. So what's on the agenda here?
You know, last week, the end of last week, we celebrated our 9th wedding anniversary.
I saw that. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Is it really 9 years?
9 years, yes.
It seemed like just yesterday, really. I was sitting outside
crazy.
At the Interlake and watching your service.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. with Barclay presiding, and just wonderful. So we reminisced. We had a nice anniversary. And coming up this week is Greg's birthday on the 16th. So we'll be celebrating his birthday.
Which trip around the sun is this, Greg?
I'm heading into my 70th year. This is my 69th birthday this year.
All right.
I'll be 69 on Thursday, going on 27.
That's right.
You're becoming vintage.
Can you apply for a vintage plate?
What is it about, you know, if my mind were chronically or chronologically as old as my body, I'd probably be truly 70 years old. But I don't feel like I'm going to be 70 years old. I still feel like I'm in my 30s. And when I go home to even now at 69, when I go home to visit my mom, I still feel like a 12-year-old when I walk in the door. I don't know what's that about.
Well,
never changes.
I'm very close to entering my 66th trip around the sun. So no, I'm actually there. I'm actually very close to entering my 67th trip around the sun. Because in October I'm going to be 66, so holy smokes. Where'd the time go, Greg? I mean,
I don't know where it went, but you know that old saying that the age is in your head, I really believe that, because I physically can't do things that I did when I was younger, when I try them, but I want to try them because I just think I can still do them.
Well, you know what? The interesting thing about what you're saying there about age in your head, it applies to even when we talk to our clients, when they look at the stuff, the furniture, because in their heads, that stuff has become older than what it actually is. And we have to go in and say to them, be the dream crusher or the grand leveler, and say, wait a minute, no, this is early 20th century. This is not 18th century. You know, I have to go to an appraisal today, and I've only seen photographs. So from photographs, it looks like it could be anything. But once you actually physically touch and see the item, and that's the importance of having to see the pieces in person, is to have that. But most clients in their head, the longer that they own items, the older the items become.
Well, and that's where folklore comes in, though. The family folklore a lot of time comes in. And that's where Tim came up with the brilliant saying, which was kind of flippant at the time, but we've used it as a kind of a benchmark saying that we use. And somebody said, well, it came over on the Mayflower. And Tim said, well, you mean the Mayflower moving van? And
It wasn't the Mayflower, the ship, because it's not that old. There wasn't that much room. So, you know, getting people to understand that
They were just pilgrims on the Mayflower.
Pilgrims, you know what? There's a website, itcameoveronthemayflower.com, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it has an inventory of, like, what was on there. It's like a little desk, some spoons, some pewter plates. I mean, there wasn't a lot because they had food and they had provisions to build the new colony, you know, where they were going to go. So it wasn't like they were bringing over a bunch of furniture, you know, or anything like that. It wasn't, they were, was not the moving van. But trying to talk to people and getting them to understand one is one thing. And I, and what I have to do today is I'm taking a look, and it's a, it's what's called a percentage of loss appraisal, and it's for insurance, and the items have already been restored. So, and it's funny that we're talking about moving vans because there was some, I guess, damage. What I understand, and I'll find out more when I go there, is that there was some damage done during the move. And this happens across the country all the time, that there are things that get damaged. But these were some antique pieces and some older pieces of decorative furniture and decorative arts. And apparently they've sent them out to have them restored. And now I have to go in because I have to then say, after the restoration, what is the percentage of loss, if there is any? Because the restoration might be very good, or it was minor. Maybe the damage took place on the back of something, and that's for a piece of furniture that you, nobody sees that. That's not going to be as important as if it were the entire front needed to be totally refaced. So it's an interesting project because we don't get a lot of these, but when we do, you have to really look at it objectively and say, okay, what is the percentage of loss? And how does that restoration affect its value? In some cases it does, some cases it doesn't.
Well, you know, another thing that's needs to be mentioned is restoration doesn't necessarily, for all objects, diminish the value. It could,
correct,
in fact, increase the value depending on the object, depending on its age, depending on the artist, depending on the rarity. All of these things have to be taken into consideration when restoration and putting value on something that's been restored. Let's take, for example,
Chair. Let's say for a chair example, because most times the leg gets loose. Sometimes it had to be tightened or re-glued. That's pretty acceptable within the industry, if it's not an exceedingly rare or, you know, something that is that, oh my gosh, should never be touched. But that's pretty much taken as, yeah, you can, that it should be restored, you know, or even in collectibles, in pedal cars, when the pedal cars were left out and most of them were rusted. But, you know, today, most collectors, they want them fully restored, because they want to put them out there. And it has more of a value than just the rusted old car that's out there, the chair with the broken leg.
I guess the only time you don't really do anything is when you find really a one-of-a-kind item.
Correct.
That would say there might be five in the world, and you find one and it's a barn find, probably keeping it that way and showing it, makes it more valuable.
Well, you know, a really good example of that, Marshall, is, let's take, for example, an antiquity. If you put the arms back on the Venus de Milo, it's not going to increase its value, you know?
It really depends on what it is, because, and this is where, you know, there's backyard restoration and then there's restoration. So
correct.
Venus
still wouldn't be worth it. She would lose value with her arms.
I think so too.
Well, if you'd have to find them first.
Right.
And that would start a whole other situation. Like, okay, hey, look what I found.
You know, somebody's got to have them somewhere.
You know.
Jill hates it when
They could be in the basement of the Vatican, because you know the Vatican Museum. When we were there, it was very fascinating to find out all of the things that the Vatican owns. A lot of these things have never seen the light of day, and they're pieces of sculpture. There are human anatomy parts that were
digs. Yeah, when they were building the cathedral.
That are stored during the time period when it was not in vogue to when the morals of the of Europe were not quite as loose, for lack of a better word, as they are today, and things could not be shown. So they saved a lot of those things, and they're in boxes, apparently, on shelves in the Vatican Library.
I think people pretty much know what's there. Trust me, I really do.
Yeah, and I don't think the arms are there. Yeah.
But
come on, let's start the rumor.
Right.
Put it on social media. It's
breaking
it'll,
news.
It'll either news. Be banned or it will be considered fact in a minute.
Omarosa found right. the arms.
So about backyard restoration.
We got about 3 minutes.
Backyard restoration is not good. We did, what was that we looked at, Greg? It was this incredible piece that was never should have been touched, that the patina. So I cleaned off all the patina and I spray painted.
Oh, yes.
It.
Oh, like, my goodness.
What? You know, and they, or take the wire brush to a piece of anything.
Bronze. they took the green patina off.
Oh, my God. They said, well, that green, it just didn't look good. I
polished
it's like,
it.
No. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. It makes your heart sick. It just makes your heart sick.
Yeah. So we caution people a lot not to just take it into their own hands.
or if you do take it into your own hands, understand that you are affecting.
Right.
It needs to be a conscious decision. You're affecting.
Exactly.
You can't bear the broken leg. Okay, you don't want to pay for someone else to do it. You're going to stick a nail in it.
Well, it's the same with baseballs because people would shellac the baseballs just to save the signatures, and they were just doing it because they thought it would save it, but the value doesn't. Carry because the shellac yellows and you can't read the signature.
Back to your point, Joe, about the backyard restoration. We always recommend that you contact somebody who is either of an art conservator or a fine art restorationist, a good restorationist, and they can be found. We actually work with a husband and wife down here that for the Fine Arts Conservancy, and they do things ranging from contemporary art all the way back to Leonardo and beyond. And they have the integrity and the wherewithal and the knowledge to restore things that fully or sometimes they don't restore things fully, depending on what it is. They just conserve them in their present state. Difference.
They help protect the integrity of the piece. That's what it comes down to.
The value is always, whether it's restored or not, is based on the integrity, the innate integrity of the piece. And whether you restore a piece so that it looks like it just came off of the easel yesterday, not necessarily always a good thing. There are times when paper, for example, is one of the things that can be restored for advertising posters. You can restore them, and it will actually increase the value by restoring it and adding new paper to the places that have lost the paper. But if you would do that to certain pieces of art with painting, you eventually end up with a painting that it's all new paint and doesn't really have the integrity of the original piece.
There is that problem. All right,
Salvador Mundi.
Okay. To be continued. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh. And happy anniversary.
And
thank you.
All right.
And many, many more.
Yay.
Oh, I celebrate my entire birth month.
We understand.
It started August 1st and it goes to August 31st.
Well, you both get a hip hip hooray. All right, guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This.